We've been looking now for a couple of Sunday nights in a row at the only book out of 66 that you are guaranteed, because it says there's a guarantee, that whenever you read it or you hear it, that you are blessed. The only book that we can say that about. Now, then I believe it happens in all the other books too, but this one says it. Blessed are they that read and hear the words of this book. And so it means happy above circumstances. I don't know. I'll look out at y'all tonight. Are y'all happy above circumstances? Well, some of you are. You are real solid on that. But the rest of us may not be that place right now, or maybe we've been there and we're anxious to get back again. And so we want to look into this. Do y'all know which book this is that we've been doing on Sunday nights? Revelation. And what is Revelation about? It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. The church needs to be able to see Jesus. Unbelievers need to be able to see Jesus. Believers, individuals. The church is where two or three are gathered together in my name. But believers need to be able to see Jesus. And so we're going to be looking for that amazing thing that we see when we see Jesus in here. And tonight's message that we're going to start in Revelation is going to be in the third chapter, because we want to see something as the church is going to finish being talked about at the end of chapter 3 and not talked about again until the last chapter of this book. And this is this place where we're going to start tonight is going to be in the 14th verse of chapter 3. 14th verse of chapter 3. And if you all could see the words up on the screen and they were red, then you would know who is talking here, wouldn't you? Who is it we like to see the words written in red? I'm wondering if we might be able to find a program that would put the words in red. I don't know. There are some people, I have a few young people that I can ask about things like that, because they can find all those things out real quick. Do y'all ever get into something new and you have to figure out how to use that device that turns things on and off and figures everything out? Y'all have to, well, can you come over and show me how to use that? Yeah, well, we need to be able to know who's talking. And because we use this so much anymore, sometimes you don't know when Jesus is doing the talking. And he's talking to the last of the seven churches. Now then, there aren't just seven churches. There weren't ever just seven churches. These seven churches represent high points and low points and particular portions of time since Jesus died on the cross. We're not so much interested tonight in the particular portions of time. If this is the last one that's talked about here, it's probably that last portion of time before he comes back. Let's look around at the church. And say, okay, are we living in the time of this last church that is spoken about here? Starting with verse 14, and to the angel or the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now I want you to know that this was written for you and for me. This is written. It's written to be able to equip us. It's written to be able to fill us up with joy. And so it says, unto the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, it's very important that you remember it says the faithful and true witness. The idea here with this word for witness is martyr. Jesus became a martyr for you and for me. We get to celebrate that every Sunday morning at the 8 o'clock service. If we ever realigned the Sunday morning services, I think it would be marvelous. And I'm not saying that we should, but if we ever realigned them, I can't imagine ever giving up the Lord's Supper. I just can't. Now, I know that a lot of y'all don't like getting up and being here before 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I can understand that. That's a kind of a sad thing that so few people like to get up and get up later in the day and don't get up early enough. But the Lord's Supper is an amazing thing. It's what we get to do our little part having faith in. Oh, by the way, a week from this Wednesday night will be our second Wednesday night service, the 10th, and we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, the blood covenant that night. I don't know if you need to ask some of your friends, when's the last time that you went to church and you celebrated the blood covenant? Because in the blood covenant, every promise of God comes into play. In the blood covenant, every blessing of God comes into play. And in the blood covenant, every one of God's unfailing plans comes into play. Now, I wish I could make unfailing plans. I make plans and things go one way or go another. But when God makes plans, He's able to cover every possibility. Oh, yes, I fall into a ditch and I try to get up out of that ditch counting it all joy. But His plans are there even if I fall into the ditch. I may have people that come against me and they're and I'm saying, why did that happen to me? I don't know. But God's plans are that whenever people come against me, or if I, God forbid, I decide to come against somebody else, God's plans are for us to be able to come through that, knowing that we have been made more than conquerors. That's going to be a part of tonight's message, more than conquerors. But back to the Word of God. So now that He's speaking to the church of Laodicea, and He's got some very strong things to say to the church of Laodicea. What if you came to church and you knew it wasn't just the preacher getting up and beating a drum? Do you realize that in California, they're wanting to tell preachers how to beat their drum? They don't want those preachers to be led by the Spirit of God. They're passing a bill that's going to tell them how they can preach about LGBTQ+. What they're going to be able to say from the pulpit. How they can bring that in and they can help all those people who are afflicted with LGBTQ+. And what I want you to know something, I know the one who's able to deal with your afflictions and with my affliction. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need to pray, as I'm getting into the message tonight, we need to pray for all those Christians that are in China that are being put into labor camps. We need to pray for all of those Christians in North Korea who are suffering in their place there. We need to pray for all those Christians in Iran. I was, this last week, I was amazed because they are not allowed to have churches. They're not allowed to publicly gather together and speak the name of Jesus in Arabic. It's Arabic. It's Isa. They're not allowed to speak His name. And the church is on fire in Iran. Literally about a week ago, this last Friday, that Iran almost got put on fire by us. And wisdom came. I believe it was wisdom to deal with them in other ways and not to deal with them and going to war with them. Because we had a window of 30 minutes whenever war would be decided whether we would go to war with them. I think that that the leader that we have right now has been, God's been putting some words in his mouth and in his heart. We need to say, what about me? I'm a believer. I don't know whether he is or not, but what about me? I want God to put words into my mouth and in my heart. That's why we're looking at the scriptures tonight. So we want to pray for Syria, where Christians are being persecuted. We want to pray for Turkey, where Christians are being persecuted. We want to pray for Europe, where Christians are being persecuted. For California, where Christians are being persecuted. You don't know, that may come to our doorstep pretty soon. I will have to take a stand. You all will have to choose how you're going to do things, but I will have to take a stand for trusting in Jesus, whatever the outcome of that may be. So, Lord, be in prayer for that. Now, the Laodicean church. Let's get back to that. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Very important to remember the faithful and true witness, because we're going to go back to chapter 1 and pick up at a place there. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, I want you to know that there's a lot of people that try to tell us how creation came about. If we listen to Jesus, and we're going to tonight, I can guarantee you there will come a day whenever He will tell you how creation came about. And it's going to agree with what the Bible says. Amen? And so it says here, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And you'll say, well, what is this thing about cold nor hot? Well, Laodicea was located between two springs. One was a spring in one direction. Water came up out of the ground. Very hot. So they built an aqueduct from that place down to the city. By the time the water got from that place where hot water came out, it was lukewarm by the time it got there. The other was a spring in the other direction where the water was very cold. And they built an aqueduct that came down to the city, and by the time they got there, it was lukewarm. And so he's describing something that the people knew about, that they had great hopes for being able to have hot and cold running water in their city. And all they got was lukewarm water. All right, so now you see this. And I know your works that you are neither cold nor hot, and I would that you were cold or hot. And they would say, well, we do too. And God was looking down right now. We're going to see back in chapter 1 where his eyes are as a flame of fire. And that's because whenever he tries everything, he's going to try it with fire. In fact, some of us are in situations right now tonight, like Christians in China and North Korea and Iran and Syria and all over the world, in Nigeria, where they are being tried with fire, and their faith is being found to be worth something marvelous. I know that you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Because you are neither lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God says, I want you to be cold or hot. Well, we can't. The aqueduct from one place, it gets lukewarm by the time it gets here. The aqueduct when it comes from another place, it gets lukewarm by the time it gets here. But right now we're before the throne of God, and the word is either hot or it's cold, and we need to be hot or cold. So we want to see that here. And it says here, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say, I am rich. Why is he says, I'm going to vomit you out? You're neither hot nor cold. And you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now then, that's kind of like America today. I mean, the poorest among us has just about everything. If you don't think that the poorest among us have just about everything, I would think that you would need to visit some of the countries south of us, or some of the countries east or west of us, where they have the way their living has increased over the past 20 or 30 years has been amazing, but they still are very poor. And he said, and the Laodiceans said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you do not know. And is it possible here tonight that somebody in this congregation doesn't know that you are poor, that you are miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked? No, I'm not. I'm rich. No, you're not. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have an intimate relationship with him, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Father, tonight, in some way, if the Spirit can break through into our hearts and let us know that we trust in riches, and we don't need to be trusting in anything but Almighty God, and that without him, we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in fire. Gold, we're talking about things being tried by fire. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. We're going to see that in a few minutes. That you may be rich. Well, how are we going to get that gold? If we're poor, if we're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, how can we do that? Well, we're going to go back to Isaiah 55:1, where it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy. Well, how do I buy if I don't have any money? You use the coin of heaven. What is the coin of heaven? Faith. You use faith, and God sees faith, and he says, I want to do amazing things because you, come, you have faith. I have something you can purchase with faith. And that would be gold tried with fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed. White raiment is the righteousness of the saints, which is the righteousness of Jesus. Do you have the righteousness of Jesus tonight? You may not have any really fancy clothes. Oh, all of us do, though. But if you have the righteousness of Jesus in heaven's sight, you are dressed in the most wonderful clothing that not even any of the runways, and I'm not talking about airports, I'm talking about those clothing houses where they have models that walk up and down runways. None of those people have the clothing that is as marvelous as we get to wear because of what Jesus has to give. And that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Today, in the 11 o'clock service, we talked about the young people having visions. I'm looking around tonight. Oh, there aren't any, are there? Well, there might be one or two, but they're not where I can really see them easy. But there's not any. But we need to pray that God will bring young people because they need to have visions. The scriptures tell us about young people having visions. And that's the reality that you're not going to see in this world that is so twisted, that the reality that we see is not the reality that we need to be trusting in. And God wants to give to young people the reality that will increase their desire to change things in this world. I had a young person come to me after church, say, "Hey, I think some things around here can be changed. I'm not going to share those things with you." And I thought, wow. I asked that young person, are you having visions? And they went, "I don't know." Well, we need to be aware of the fact that there are some things that need to be changed. Amen? So anyway, and it says that you may anoint your eyes with eye salve. Well, whenever the world, we look at the boob tube box and it tells us how things should be. I want you to know something. You're not doing your eyes any good. You're not seeing things the way they need to be seen. We need the eye salve of the Spirit that we may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. What is a marvelous relationship, but one where you can sit down and have a meal with somebody. And when you get finished, you go, "Wow, I haven't done that in such a long time. I wonder if there are other people I can do that with. I will sup with him and he with me." To him, though, this is very important, because we're going to read the very last two verses that are here in this talking about Laodicea. "To him that overcometh," to him that finds the victory, "will I grant to sit with me in my throne." We are supposed to be seated together with him in the heavenly places. One of these days, I'm going to go see Claude. Claude is sitting on a throne in heaven. I'm going to go see my dad. My dad never really participated in church too very much until after he had his stroke. Something broke in my dad whenever that happened. And he began to get joyful whenever he came into this place. My dad could sing amazingly, but I never heard him sing in church till after he had a stroke. My dad, he couldn't raise both hands well. He could raise one real well, and the other one he could do a little bit. And I'd never seen him raise his hand in church. When's the last time in church you just raised your hand up to be able to thank God? Raise that hand up right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so my dad did that. I'm wanting to see my dad. I'm wanting to be able to see him seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I have a lot of other people. I want to see Brother Bill. There's some things I want to give him what's for about. Amen? Because God makes all things right. And we know that all things work together for good. But there's still some things I want to talk to him about. I want to see his mama. Now, that was the most amazing table to ever sit down in your life. Because she would bring out, before we got there, she had taken every pot and pan, and she had a bunch in her kitchen out, and she had prepared everything that she could think of. And we went in and sat down and had the most amazing meal. It would taste, I've never seen a meal that could, tasted a meal that was that great. She was a great cook. And then while we were sitting, after we had eaten, she would open her mouth and share such truths. You see, sitting down at a table with Jesus, or sitting down at the table with some people who the very words that come out of their mouth can transform you, you want an opportunity like that. And so anyway, I'm anxious to see that. To him that overcomes, to him that finds the victory. Oh, where am I going to find the victory? How many's the last time that y'all have ever been on a scavenger hunt? And on there it says, go find a flat tire. Take a picture of it. Go ask somebody for a cup of sugar. Bring it back. Go find the victory. To him that finds the victory. Where do you find the victory? I guess you can join the Navy like I did. I didn't join the Navy to find the victory. I joined the Navy to keep off the ground in Vietnam. I'll be honest. I had a low, what did they call it? Lottery number Y'all remember lottery numbers back in the 60s and 70s? I had a low one. I knew that whenever I wasn't in school anymore, I got my letter. It said, greetings and salutations. Please show up on this day for your physical, because we got plans for you. And I didn't find the victory whenever I was in the Navy. I know a lot of cousins who were in the Marines and in the Air Force and in the Army and in the Coast Guard, and they didn't find the victory there either. So where do you find the victory? To him that finds the victory, him that overcomes. You find the victory in Jesus. And it says, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame. So you find out we become more than conquerors, overcomers, because of who Jesus is. He gives that victory to us. I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning. What was he groaning for? For you and I to have the victory of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and found his victory and won his victory. Right? So it says here, to him that overcometh. Are you an overcomer? Has he died for you? Have you accepted him? Is he going to lead you? Is he going to give you? Is he going to show you the victory? Amen. There's at least two of you that believe so. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we want to go back in here, and we see in here, at the beginning of this, it says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And then we hear about overcoming. And those are going to be the things that we're going to use majorly in this particular look at Revelation tonight. Now, chapter 1 is where we're jumping to now, and we're going to jump to chapter 1 and verse 5, and we're going to skim along through here as we look at it, because Revelation is all about seeing something that we have not seen before in Jesus. That's what gets us into some of the situations where we are, because we just don't see Jesus. And we're going to start in verse 5 from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Oh, what did it say back in verse 14 of chapter 3? These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the martyr, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. This is back in chapter 1, verse 5. And the prince, or the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Do you think that Kim Il-jong knows that Jesus Christ is the ruler? I'm praying that Trump knows, but I can guarantee you there's not many other leaders in the world that have. Now then, there's a Christian leader who's been elected down in Australia. He may possibly know. You know, a lot of people wear the sign around their name, around their neck, Christian, but they don't know that he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. And so, do you know that he's the ruler and that you're going to come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years? And things that have never been taken care of, that are so destroyed by sin, will almost be made right again, to where this world will become very close to being like Eden. But sin will still be present. And unto him that loved us, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more can he give? He loves us. He loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This literally means here, the word washed here, we kind of wonder about that, washed in our us from our sins. He's loosed our sins from us. They're in the process of falling off of us. I may carry around the stink of a particular sin, but I can guarantee you something, because of his blood, that thing has been loosed. It cannot hold on to me forever. Amen. And hath made us a kingdom, not kings and priests, but he has made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. Aren't you glad that we've been made a kingdom of priests? We're part of the kingdom that shall never end. We have a king who will rule and reign forever. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now then, this is not talking whenever he comes with us, for us. I'm not sure if every eye is going to see him. I believe we shall. I believe we'll hear the trumpet. I don't know if the rest of the world is going to hear the trumpet or not, because right now I don't know if they can hear Jesus whenever he's proclaimed. We need to go out and proclaim often so that they become more acquainted with him and more acquainted to him. We don't ever want to give somebody three strikes and they're out with Jesus, because he doesn't do that. He didn't give any of us three strikes and we're out. And so it says that they shall see him, and this is going to, we will be coming back with him at this particular time, because it's whenever he comes back to rule and reign. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, because they've been lied to and told that they don't want him, they don't need him. And when they see him, oh no, here he comes. And we're going to be going, oh yes, start singing the songs of victory. Finally, nothing will be between your soul and your Savior. Now then Jesus is speaking in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who am also your brother. John is speaking here. This is now not Jesus anymore. Verse 9, John is speaking. Who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. Wow, John was 90 years old. Don't you think he had lived long enough and he was a good enough man that he wasn't going to have any more tribulation? Because that's the way we feel about it. Ask those Christians in China. Ask those Christians in North Korea. Ask those Christians in Iran. Let me tell you something about Iran. They aren't asking us to take away tribulation. I have read things that they're saying. They're saying, don't pray for the persecution to stop. They've realized something. When they're persecuted, the church explodes. People are coming to Jesus because of the persecution. And if we see persecution on the horizon here in America, we ought to be saying, bring it on! Because we want one more explosion in the church before we're called out of this place. And he says, I'm your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ, who is in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God on the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and John, 90 plus years old, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is today? It's Sunday. What do we call it? The Lord's Day. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And y'all are going to say, wow, he must have been enjoying a nice Greek vacation. Because you can really get in the Spirit on a nice vacation. No, he was on a rock in the middle of nowhere. They were trying to bring him to the place where he would deny Jesus. And if he didn't deny Jesus, he was in a great, between a rock and a hard place. And he said, I was in the Spirit of God, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, no matter what. What is there that's between your soul and your Savior today? And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, and the voice was saying, I am Alpha and Omega. This is Jesus speaking again. The first and the last. What you see, write it in a book and send it to every church everywhere, and we're being able to read it tonight. And it names all the seven of them that represent all everything about the church. And I turned me to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. I saw a menorah. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man. So here, immediately in chapter 1, we began to see Jesus revealed in a way that we haven't seen him before. Except three did see a little bit about this when they went up on the mountaintop there in the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw one like to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. And what they're describing here is a high priest garment. He's the King of Kings and he's the high priest at the same time. And his head and his hair were white like wool. Huh. Yeah, I see that. I see that. Y'all are looking amazing. You're looking like Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty good. Having hair white, having his head and his hair were as white as wool and as white as snow. And so I'm going to tell you something. When we see him in heaven, how are we going to know him? He's going to have white hair. And it says, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And it's very important to know that his eyes are like a flame of fire, because all of our works will be judged with fire. Right now he's looking down and he's saying, He's saying, let's check and see what Phil's done lately. Not much. Oh, but there's a few things he's done. That's going to burn up. And some of you, he's looking down, he's saying, look at there. Gold, silver, and precious stones. They're going to be able, when the fire comes, they're going to receive the glory of knowing that they had been given that which would last forever. Look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. And he said, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and it goes on to describe him a little more. We're going to skip down to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead person, and he laid his right hand upon me. Now, if Jesus is wanting to do that for John, and we know that John was the disciple that Jesus loved, every disciple that Jesus loves, he wants to do that for them. How come John was the disciple of the 12 that was known as the disciple that Jesus loved? And I've told you this before, and I hope you're understanding. Why was John? What was there about him? Was he a good little boy when the others could not be a good little boy? Had he given up cussing and chewing tobacco and running around with loose women? And that was why Jesus wanted to raise put his right hand on him? No, it's because John, of the 12, made sure he was as close to Jesus as possible so that he could be loved by Jesus. And today, if you're here, I can guarantee something. Being here on Sunday night, among the numbers that we have here, you've decided that you want to be loved by Jesus, and he's desperate to put his right hand upon you. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am him that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Today we had a woman who was baptized up here. She's right out there in case y'all don't know who she is. She can raise her hand and wave it at us because there's joy to be had in the house. There you go. There's joy in raising your hand like that. And whenever she was up there and we were baptizing, she says, I believe that Jesus died for me. And that's whenever I put her into the water. And I believe that I died with him. This body's only going to die once. I died with him. And I believe he was resurrected for me. And I believe that I share in his resurrection. Because it's a picture. And you get to show it to everybody. Now you get to tell everybody about it. About the joy that you had when you were doing that. And I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys. I don't know what keys you need for Jesus to have today. But if he's got the keys to hell and to death, he has the keys that you need. He is the one who can open any door or shut any door. You need to be aware of that. Skipping on down to chapter 2. Unto the angel or the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand. The seven stars would be the seven messengers or the messengers to every church who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is the seven golden candlesticks are the churches. He walks in the church while we've been here and you've been listening to my mouth going blah, 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 blah. Jesus has been walking around in here. I know your works and your labor. Now I want you to know something. The church at Ephesus was a church that had done much, and we want to find out what they had done and what they hadn't done and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say that they are apostles, and you have found that they are not, and you have found out that they are liars. And you'll say, well, there's not people that are supposed to be liars in the church. Well, they're not supposed to be, but they get there. And you have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, now this church was a church that he's saying good things about. And he says, but nevertheless, I have something against you because you have left your first love. Now I want you to know something. There are a lot of relationships that have broken, and in America, we think it's fine. For if it's a broken relationship, we might as well just go ahead and find another. But I'm wanting you to know something, that if you are wanting to enjoy the life you have here, you cannot afford to leave the love relationship that you and Jesus have. And if you have, and your life is falling all to pieces and stinking to high heaven, he wants to restore you to that relationship again. And so he says here, because you have left your first love, remember therefore from which you are fallen and repent, turn back to your first love. Well, who do you think our first love really is? Well, it's not, let's see, what was that girl that was back in the ninth grade? Joanna. No, the first love. Because if you don't know Jesus, you're incapable of really loving anyone. Because if you know Him, you know that He sacrificed love for you and that you have been called to sacrifice love for others. And he says here, repent, turn back, and do the first works. Come back into that first love place, or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except that you repent. But you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which teach you that there are some people that are better than others. Huh. Do you think that's ever been taught here in this church? I don't remember. But it's possible that there are those that may have taught it in one form or another, that there are some people that are better than others. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, because we are all come out of Adam and we are all come out of Noah. It doesn't matter your ethnic background or anything about you. There is no one any better than others, but the Nicolaitans taught that there were some people that were better. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. So he that overcomes, we heard that back over at the ending Revelations chapter 3, and it says in verse 21, to him that overcomes, to him that finds the victory. It's going to say it to every one of the churches, to the people that are part of every one of the churches. Some of them are messed up. Some of them, he said, you are amazing. One of them, he says, you're neither hot nor cold. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. And he's still saying to them, it's still possible that you can find the victory. And so we want to consider this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And whenever we look at that, we know that he's talking about the fact that he is the victory that is to be found. We're going to run over to Romans chapter 8 very quickly, because I have 3 minutes. And in Romans chapter 8, we want to consider in here, I'm going to have to get on down to where I'm going here. Oh, it's in the portion that we used to do all the time in the singles class, pretty much. And then here, let's start back up a little bit higher in verse 31. What shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you name somebody who can be against you if God's for you and that person can overcome the plans of God? Well, I'm against myself. I guess I can overcome the plans of God. No, you can't. You can make it to where you don't enjoy them. Did you hear that? You can make it to where you don't enjoy them, but you can't overcome him. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we're going to skip down verse 33. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now then, he can say, you're neither hot nor cold. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. And then he can go on to say, but I want to give you the victory. And at verse 35, it says, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword, feeling like that our lives were being killed. Nay, in all these things, we are more than overcomers. Now, it's the same word, to him that overcomes, to him that finds the victory. It's the same word, except this more than conquerors means hyper overcomers. Now, I'll tell you a story about myself. In 1966, I found out I had a hyperthyroid. Hyperthyroid produces too much thyroid hormone. If we are hyper overcomers, that means we never face a situation where we cannot ultimately overcome. And so we're looking in here, and he's talking to the churches, and he says, to him that finds the victory. What would you think tonight if you knew that it was possible for whatever it is that you're facing, that you can find the victory, but it's all at the feet of Jesus? What would you think? Would you say, well, I've kind of gotten used to living like I am? That's sad. I mean, every one of us should say, I want to be more than a conqueror. I want to be an overcomer. Let's see. We've become more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've become victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of off there on all my notes, but you understand that we've become that, or we can become that. We can become those who find the victory at Jesus' feet. I want to find it now. I don't want to wait till I go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to find it now. Whenever I step on the other side, I want to go, woo! Woo! Hallelujah! It was right! I could find the victory, and I found some. And then whenever I come back, I want to be able to shout better than I shouted whenever I went to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because there's going to be a lot of people here that are going to be thinking, I'm getting ready to die. The one who I didn't know anything about and didn't want to know anything about, he's now on the throne. And we're going to be going out and saying, come to his feet. You can find the victory. And this world can be transformed. I don't know about you. Maybe your life needs to be transformed tonight. Or at least begin to be transformed tonight. Well, you were made to be an overcomer, to find the victory. If you're a sinner and you have never accepted Jesus, you were made to be an overcomer. Only He can give to you the victory that you might be able to find. And if you're a believer and you've decided that that's just the way my life is, the enemy has lied to you and taken away any hope. And you've heard the word right here that says, I want to make you more than an overcomer. Let's all stand and we'll offer up a song.